Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday night, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, it's a good one, understanding the angel of the Lord and all the host of heaven. Quite often, I will get questions from people regarding the somewhat confusing nature, regarding the panoply of angels and fallen angels, the angel of the Lord, and just who is it that populates the vast and seemingly endless host of heaven? When you remember that while the Bible is God's complete revelation of what he wants us to know, it is far from a complete revelation of all that there is to know. Paul says that here and now, we prophesy in part and understand in part, but then one day we will be face to face with the Lord and have total understanding. Now, what about those angels? John 21:25 says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. John is telling you that there's a lot more than we know about. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are on a fact-finding mission to uncover the biblical truth about the nature and identity of angels and other heavenly creatures. In the process of doing so, we have to shed from our collective memory 1,000+ years of art and images depicting these beings as they do not align with how they are presented in the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about angels, but be forewarned, it won't be so much hard to understand as it will be hard to accept and believe. The truth is always stranger than fiction, and your King James Bible is perhaps the strangest book ever written. Join us tonight on this episode of Rightly Dividing as we go looking for angels, and we find them. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for our prayer and praise time. We thank you for giving us a book that gives us your complete revelation of what you want us to know. And as we open that book tonight, God, meet with us, be with us, go before us, and give us understanding of what we read. We believe it, Lord, and show us the truth about your word, and we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Again, thank you very much for all your prayers. It is much appreciated. I'm feeling a little bit better every day. I do not feel 100%. I'm still feeling the hangover of having COVID for 2 weeks, but I feel a little bit better every day, and certainly I feel good enough to get behind the microphone and teach the Bible, which is perhaps my favorite thing to do in the face of the earth. I love God's Word. I love the book, and I believe the book, and for the last almost 32 years, March 14th, of 2023 will be 32 years since God saved me and caused me to become born again. And I am glad and I'm grateful to be here. I love being your Bible teacher. To me, it's an honor and it's a privilege, and I take it extremely seriously. And I'm just so glad for our fellowship and how the Lord has done such great things through us for his kingdom. And just glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad to see all of you as well. Tonight we're going to be talking about angels. We're going to be talking about the host of heaven. We're going to be talking about demons and aliens and creatures from outer space. And we're not going to get too wild and too crazy. We're just going to stick with the old book. We're just going to stick with the King James Bible, but let me tell you something, that King James Bible is the wildest book ever written, strangest book ever written, it's the truest book ever written, and tonight we're going to go from Genesis to Revelation looking for angels, and they're not hard to find. In fact, they're pretty easy to find. And we're going to take them as we find them. We're going to see what the Bible has to say about angels. And we're going to look at everything in context. We're going to compare scripture with scripture. We're going to do it the old-fashioned way. We're going to do it the right way. And we'll see what God has to say about angels. And the angel of the Lord, that's a very specific type of angel. And we're going to meet up with him tonight as well. And the host of heaven, that's where some trouble is lurking. And God created a vastly populated heaven. And we're going to see if we can catch up with some of those creatures tonight. So glad that you're here.
Up my hands, I couldn't pray my best prayer through my circumstance.
Oh, but on his name I kept on calling, the narrow path I kept on walking.
I tried to sing a happy song.
Oh, and when it looked like hope was gone, that's when God's love made me strong. Oh, I came through another battle. Lord, I thought I would go down in the middle of the war, but His mercy surrounded me when I made mistakes, and when I took all I could take, He stepped in and made a way. I came through another battle, and Lord, I'll give You the praise.
The joy in my life. You see, he fails to remember the Savior's blood. It makes me smile.
And the fiery darts he throws my way reminds me I'm still saved. And when it looks like the end, that's when my victory begins. Oh, I came through another battle.
When I
it's time the church of Jesus Christ should boldly stand and say,
God's word will stand against the raging tide of those who raise sighs and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell.
From the courthouse walls, remove it from the schools. Teach our children that we're animals. Speak against the golden rule. Try and hide our Christian heritage from the public eye,
but they'll never overcome God's word. And work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men. God's word will stand.
Amen.
It is forever settled to evermore endure. It's the only way sinner's heart can ever be made pure. God's word will stand against the raging tide of those who raise eyes and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men.
If you're just tuning in, we're going to be getting started at the bottom of the hour with our Bible study tonight on angels, fallen angels, demons, aliens, and the angel of the Lord. And I trust it will be an exciting time in Scripture. Earlier today, we published an article with the title, LGBTQIA+ Affirming Pope Francis says that gays should be welcomed into the church and that God loves them just the way they are, but does he? And the article went on to say that that Pope Francis, he's getting closer and closer to turning the Roman Catholic Church into a gay-affirming church. He's basically 90% of the way there right now. If he had more people on his side, I believe that the Roman Catholic Church would be a complete gay-affirming church right now, because that's the direction that everything's going in. Remember, we're waiting to get out of here on Flight 777. The rest of the world is waiting for the One World Religion, the New World Order, the Mark of the Beast, the Antichrist, and that's who Pope Francis represents. That's what the Roman Catholic Church represents. So earlier today, we brought you that article showing you the ridiculous position that the leader of 1.5 billion Roman Catholics is taking regarding gays in the church. But he's not alone in that opinion. On our Twitter channel yesterday, I posted a video with Andy Stanley. And take a listen to what Andy Stanley, this is the son of longtime preacher Charles Stanley, listen to what Andy Stanley has to say about gays in the church. Take a listen to this.
Figure out how to get straight people as excited about serving and engaging as the gay men and women I know, we would have a volunteer backlog. That's my experience in our churches. Well, I'm a gay person. I'll just read it to you. A gay person, when I say gay, men and women, okay? A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you. A gay person who knows, you know what? I might not be accepted here, but I'm going to try it anyway. Have you ever done that as a straight person? Where do you go that you're not sure you're going to be accepted and you go over and over and over and over? Only your in-law's house. That's the only place you go where you know you're not completely accepted, but you go over and over and over, and it's because you have to. But other than the in-laws, what environment do you continue to step foot in knowing at any moment you may feel ostracized? No place. I'm telling you, the gay men and women who grew up in church and the gay men and women who've come to faith in Christ as adults who want to participate in our church, oh my goodness. I know 1 Corinthians 6 and I know Leviticus and I know Romans 1. It's so interesting to talk about all that stuff. But just, oh my goodness, a gay man or woman who wants to worship their...
Did you hear what he said? I know 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know Leviticus. I know Romans chapter 1. Those things are so interesting to talk about. No, Andy, false teacher, heretic. Those things are not so interesting to talk about. Those things are scripture. And those things represent God's understanding of gays in the church. And we are watching an incredible thing unfolding before our eyes. We are living, if you like Bible prophecy, and remember, I've always said that you've got to accept the good prophecy with the bad prophecy because it's all from God. But we are living in a time where we are watching Bible prophecy literally unfolding before our very eyes. Andy Stanley, he has like 38,000 people who attend his church. He's very influential. And what is he doing? He's taking the party line of the Roman Catholic Church. And so what you're watching, what you're watching is you are watching the Laodicean church come into full bloom, absolutely full flower. And it's a awful, horrific, terrible, and wonderful thing to watch take place. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, he promised in Revelation chapter 3 that in the end of time, the last church before the rapture would be the lukewarm Laodicean church. And remember what the Apostle Paul said? Remember what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4? The thing that is going to be the hallmark of the end of the church age. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They will not endure sound doctrine. Andy Stanley does not have sound doctrine. Paula White, Kenneth Copeland, T.D. Jakes, Todd White, Todd Bentley, Pope Francis. No sound doctrine anywhere you look. We are watching the Laodicean church erupting in full bloom. And I don't know about you, but that just shows me how close that we are to getting out of here. All right, one more song, and we're going to go into our time of prayer and praise and get started with tonight's Bible study.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's close. closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear
Amen.
The trumpet.
Come get us, Lord. Come get us.
As Gabriel sounds the call, and at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out. I see prophecies fulfilling. The signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. The midnight cry when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out.
Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift up Annetta in prayer. She's recovering from the effects of a stroke last May, and she is praying for the ability to walk again on her own. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and he needs our prayer. Elena Blackburn is expecting, and she wants prayer that she'll give birth to a healthy baby, and her due date is July 11th. Kelsey Emerson is expecting a baby, and we are praying for a full term and a safe delivery for mother and baby. Reagan Gorzel, she's 34 weeks along, and she's been experiencing some high blood pressure this week. The doctor is concerned, and Kyle says, please keep Reagan, baby Titus, and the family in prayer. Hang in there, brother. We are absolutely lifting you guys up. Jeanette's cousin Andrew had a stroke, and he needs prayer. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has returned. He said the doctor told him it's at stage 4, and we are praying for a complete healing for our brother Rob. Kate is asking for prayer concerning her housing situation with an unspoken request as well. Mark Saxa would like prayers for his son Joseph that he would return to the Lord. Patty Rogalski has a praise report about her husband Jerry recovering so amazingly, and we rejoice with you. Ricky Gouda from the Netherlands, we prayed for her daughter Nortje, who had a surgery 2 days ago, and she is home now and recovering, and very, very grateful for all of our prayers. Shaycaster tested negative for COVID, but has bacterial overgrowth on his lungs, and we are praying for him as well. Charlie Kammerman needs prayer for recovery after having hip surgery. Laura Campoy, who had a bad scooter accident last year, we are still praying for her to have a full healing. She's been having some complications lately. Madison's grandbaby, Addie, with RSV, is still in the hospital and trying to get the mucus out of her lungs, and we are praying for her. Rebecca's Lynn's son, Jonte, he wasn't feeling well the other day, and possible COVID, but they're not sure. And we are still praying for him to get better and to feel better. Clayton Perry, experiencing the side effects of chemotherapy. We're praying for Marcy Long, who has been diagnosed with colon cancer, and she had a couple of rounds of chemo, and we are waiting for the report from the doctor, but we pray that it will go well. Adriana Chandler, she has some stomach issues and some stomach problems, and we are lifting her up before the Lord. Sarah Riddle's husband has COVID, and he needs our prayer, and we're absolutely lifting you up, brother. If you're listening, we got you covered. Also, please pray that the new Twitter followers of NTEB will wake up and get on fire for the Lord, and that many of those 17,300 new followers to our channel will make their way here to the Bible studies and to the podcast. We had been praying for Ariel Roberts. Bonnie had been asking us to pray for her. She's a young lady with a brain tumor. And for the better part of a year now, we've been praying for Ariel Roberts. Ariel went home to be with the Lord the other day. She, I don't want to say she lost her battle. The Lord took her. So please keep Ariel Roberts' family in your prayers. And her mom, Carrie, had just lost her dad in December as well. So remember the family of Ariel Roberts. Karen Yingling has a praise report for her brother-in-law, Doug, who suffered from two strokes, thanking God for watching over and healing and giving the doctors and EMTs wisdom. He is going to make a full recovery, and that is an amazing blessing. Mia Mia says, my husband Chris needs a healing for a leg injury. He can't work. Please pray. Regina Danner, Linda and her condition. Joy is facing surgery for gallbladder. Financial woes coming for both. Healing needed for both. So Regina is asking us to pray for Linda and for Joy. They're both believers, but they need a little help from the Lord. Shane says, please pray for my unbelieving husband that God would open his eyes so he can see. Amen. Shannon Kay, she's asking for prayers for me and my health, and I'll take all the prayers you got. Thank you so much. And Shannon says, for the burgeoning ministry, that all the financial needs are met, that the harvest will be beyond our wildest imaginings. Amen. Amen. That's a good prayer. Humble One Forever, please pray for Ed Light, has heart problems and will have to have a defibrillator installed. I think you mean a pacemaker. So Ed Light is going to have a pacemaker installed, and he says that he is a brother at work. CJ, please pray for my two-year-old grandson, Graham, with digestive issues. Also, please keep Lori Ann and her two children in your prayers this weekend. Saturday's the big day. They're moving into their new house, and we rejoice with them. And just please pray that the Lord will orchestrate every step of the move. All the hard work is done. Nothing to it but to do it, as they say. But we're lifting it up before the Lord that he would orchestrate everything. So, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, we come before you. For the people who need a healing, who need a touch from you, please work and please move. Help Blaine get into his new housing, Lord. And I think he's really close to a praise report, but help him, Father God. And for everybody on the list that we mentioned, Lord, and for the ones that we might have forgotten, but you know who they are, God. We ask you to work and move in a mighty way. Jeanette says, I have an unspoken prayer request. And Father God, for all these prayers, Mike Crabb says, ease my breathing, Lord. And I could certainly use a little bit easier breathing. So thank you for that. Heavenly Father, thank you, God. We praise you. Your word is true. And it says in the book of Philippians, talking about prayer, verse 6, chapter 4, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we commit this time to you, Lord, and all these prayers. Shannon says, please pray for Dave's mom, unknown if COVID. Her name is Mary. And Lord, be with Mary and with everybody on our prayer list tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here. Let's go into our Bible study time. It's going to be a fun little study tonight. And we've talked a lot about angels. We've talked a lot about aliens and demons over the years. And I want to take a little bit of a different path tonight. And I want to look at a few lesser-known avenues to figure out this thing about angels and the host of heaven and fallen angels and demons and all these things. The Bible has a lot to say about this topic. The Bible is not silent about this topic. If you go into your electronic Bible and you put in the word angel, you will find that the word angel appears. Turn to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. The word angel appears exactly 201 times in 192 verses in your King James Bible. And in Genesis chapter 16, in verse 7, we read this, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. So, when you talk about angels, the very first time, and there is something called the law of first mention, and the law of first mention states that the context in which a word appears in the Bible for the first time pretty much sets the tone all the way through the rest of the Bible for how that word is going to be used. And in Genesis 16:7, the very first time that we see the word angel, it is in reference to an angel known as the angel of the Lord. And this angel of the Lord is, as you will see, a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. The Bible scholars will call this a theophany, an appearing of Jesus Christ before he was born unto the Virgin Mary. And there's a number of appearances of the angel of the Lord in the Bible. In fact, there's hundreds of appearances, Old Testament and New Testament, showing you the angel of the Lord. And in 99.9% of those cases, that is talking about Jesus Christ. Now, keep your finger in Genesis chapter 16, but go to Hebrews chapter 1. Keep your finger in Genesis 16 and go to Hebrews chapter 1. And look down in verse 13 and 14. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So here we have a definition. We have a definition of the word angel. And the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 1 that angels are ministering spirits. But when these angels minister, they take on a human form. And this is where it starts to get a little freaky, and this is where it starts to get a little confusing. But Hebrews chapter 1 clearly tells you that angels are ministering spirits, and they are sent forth, obviously, by God to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So back to Genesis chapter 16. Back to Genesis chapter 16. The context is, Sarah was unable to give Abraham a child. So they hatched a plan for Abraham to have sex with Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. And of course, we know that the baby that was born in that relationship is Ishmael, who becomes the enemy of the Jewish people. And the Bible says about Ishmael in Genesis 16:12, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And the nation of the Islamic Muslim people, they are absolutely a fulfillment of that passage. They are a wild race of people. But this is where they come from. Ishmael was the first Arab, the first Muslim, whatever you want to call him. Obviously, not all Arabs are Muslims. I get that. But I really think that Ishmael represents clearly the Muslims more than he represents the Arabs. But that's just my opinion. So in Genesis chapter 16, what we see is this child is born to Hagar, and Abraham is the father. In Genesis 16:4, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And why would Sarah be despised in the eyes of Hagar? Well, because Hagar could do something for Abraham that his own wife couldn't do, and that's give him a baby. And so when Hagar becomes pregnant, we find out that the reason for the infertility was not Abraham, it was Sarah. And so when Hagar gets pregnant, she kind of gives Sarah the business. And then Sarah, or Sarai, doesn't want her to be around. And in verse 5, we read, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee, I have given my maiden to thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, the Lord judge between me and thee. So what they did is they drove her and the child away. And in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 16, we see the first appearance of an angel in the Bible. Genesis 16, 7, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou?" I want you to notice that Revelation 16, 8 says, "And he said." And what you're going to find when you look at all the places in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, anywhere you want to go, every example that you see of any type of an angel, a regular angel, a fallen angel, the angel of the Lord, they are all men. And in the second hour, we're going to go into that a little bit more deeply. We're going to put some flesh on those bones. But suffice to say that every instance in the Bible, and there's hundreds and hundreds of instances where angels appear, every single time that they show up, they are men. And they don't have wings, and they look just like men, regular men who you would pass on the street, that you would see at the gas station, whatever the case may be. Now, is it possible that there are female angels somewhere in the host of heaven? Sure. It's absolutely possible, but the Bible doesn't talk about it. And one of the things that I said at the start of this program, your Bible is the complete revelation of everything that God wants you and I to know about what he wants us to know. So from that perspective, we have the complete revelation of God from God with the information that God wants us to have. But that is not all the information that exists. And that's one of the things that you have to wrap your... Now, I am not looking for the lost books of the Bible. I'm not going outside of Scripture. I am just simply saying that your Bible is a complete revelation of what God wants you to have, but there is more to it. And when we get to heaven, God is going to, as Paul Harvey used to say, "And now for the rest of the story." Well, when we get to heaven, God is going to give us the rest of the story. But for here and now, Genesis to Revelation is what God wants us to know. And within that context, we do not see female angels. We do not see angels with wings. We see angels that appear exactly like men. And then, of course, we see this special angel that the Bible calls the angel of the Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Turn to Acts chapter 27. And we're still setting the table here, so that we can have a good grasp on how the Bible views angels. Acts chapter 27, and look down in verse, let's start in verse 21. Acts 27, and we're going to go down to 24. Acts 27, 21 through 24. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. And that angel said to Paul, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Now, turn back one chapter to Acts chapter 26. The apostle Paul said that he was comforted and he was visited by the angel of the Lord. Now, do you remember what Paul said to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26? The commission that Jesus Christ gave him? Acts 26, 15 through 18. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Verse 19 says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." So, in Acts chapter 27, when the apostle Paul said in verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Now, who does Paul serve? Does Paul serve angels? No. Does Paul serve cherubs? No. Does Paul serve the host of heaven? No. The apostle Paul was knocked off his horse by the risen Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, the apostle Paul became a servant of Jesus Christ. So, we understand in Acts 27:23 when Paul says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Paul is telling you that that angel of God is a post-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. So, are you starting to see how angels fit into the Bible? Are you starting to see that it's a very complex thing that the Bible presents? Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul says this in verses 12 through 14. "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation was in my flesh, which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." So, when we look in the next hour, we look deeply into this topic of angels and the angel of the Lord. You're going to see some strange things happening. You are going to see the angel of the Lord in the book of Luke appearing to the shepherds to announce the birth of the baby Jesus. The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ, and he appears to the shepherds to announce the birth of himself as the baby Jesus. So, are you asking me, am I telling you that after Jesus Christ was born in the manger at Migdal Eder, is it possible that the Bible is teaching that that same Jesus Christ who was a baby in the manger is now appearing to the shepherds as the angel of the Lord? That's exactly what I'm telling you. And we're going to be looking at that deeply in the next hour. And with that, we have to take our first break of the night. I hope you're ready for a good Bible study, because we got some great things to talk about. We'll be right back after this.
Sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? Do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. You can and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Amen, amen. Is your all on the altar? The Lord wants it all, not just your money. He wants your heart. He wants your time. He wants it all. Yesterday, we did an article and we told you about all the amazing requests for free Bibles that I got while I had COVID. And I spent the last 2 days digging through the mountain of emails. And we're sending out 200 King James Bibles to the St. Lucie Regional Juvenile Detention Center in Fort Pierce. And we're sending out 22 cases of Bibles to different missionaries in Mexico. And I told you yesterday that I had an email from a chaplain, Willis, and he represents a network of 80 serving chaplains, 50 in the military and 30 in the local community. And he had emailed me wanting to know, and it was great. He was specifically asking for King James Bibles. Well, he came to the right place, that's for sure. But I want you to think about this now. Chaplain Willis represents a network of 80 different chaplains all across America, serving in all sorts of different capacities, including in the military. And he called me on the phone today, and he started to lay out what it is that he needs to do. And he asked me, would it be possible if he began to refer the 80 chaplains from his network to Now the End Begins and Bibles Behind Bars, and could we begin to fulfill the Bible needs for 80 different chaplains? So I want you to pray about that. That is, so far, that will be the biggest project that we've ever undertaken. And I don't know how many Bibles 80 different chaplains are going to ask for. Maybe they'll only need a case or two apiece. Maybe they'll need hundreds apiece. I have literally no idea. But if you guys could please pray that we will be able to meet the needs, whatever those needs may be, for those 80 different chaplains. That's going to take a lot of prayer. That's going to take a lot of money. And if God has prospered you, please prayerfully consider donating to our free Bible program. We could easily be overwhelmed with requests from 80 different chaplains. But guess what? I know the God that we serve has called us to do this, and I am excited to see what those 80 different chaplains want. We can absolutely do this. So please pray, keep it in your prayers, and if God has prospered you, well, we need you to donate, and we need you to be as generous as you possibly can be. This takes a lot of money to do these things, and it is money very well spent. So please keep that and the 80 chaplains on your personal prayer list. I would greatly appreciate that. All right, let's get into, we set the table. We're talking about angels. And this is a topic that a lot of people shy away from. A lot of pastors, they stay away from this topic. And another topic that they stay away from is this idea of the nature of God. So before we go any further, because I'm telling you, we're going to get to some really strange passages about the angel of the Lord. And I just want to do a quick review on who Jesus Christ is. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 8 through 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Paul says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And we've talked about this many times. I've taken so much heat for this position, but when I read my Bible, I see one God. I see God the Father, I see Jesus the only begotten Son, and I see the Holy Spirit. And when I read passages like Colossians chapter 2, I see that the Godhead, not the Trinity, the Godhead dwells completely in Jesus Christ. And if you're going to understand or even come close to understanding the angel of the Lord, you have to remember who Jesus Christ is. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, Colossians 1, 13 through 15, Paul says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Paul said in Colossians 2 that in Jesus Christ is the Godhead bodily. In Colossians chapter 1, he says that Jesus is the image of God the Father. If you were to sit down to have a cup of tea with Jesus right now, and you sat across the table and you looked into his eyes, according to Scripture, it is the Father who would be looking back through the eyes of Jesus Christ, because he is the image of the invisible God, because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God the Father was manifest in the flesh. What flesh was he manifest in? Jesus Christ, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So, when we look at the angel of the Lord, what you're going to see is that Jesus Christ was appearing constantly in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. He was appearing in the New Testament as the angel of the Lord while he was being born. Doesn't that blow your mind? Turn to the Gospel of Luke. And I'll show you this amazing thing. In the book of Luke, turn to chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. And I want to show you something that will blow your mind. The Bible's not so much hard to understand as it is hard to believe. Luke chapter 2, and let's start reading in verse 4. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Mark 6:3 tells you about the rest of those kids. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, here you have the baby Jesus being born at Migdal Eder, and this is the Feast of Tabernacles, the end of September, and the baby Jesus has been born, Luke 2:7. Now watch what happens next. Luke 2:8 says, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, this angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. How is it possible that Jesus Christ was just born to the Virgin Mary at Migdal Eder in the stone manger, and moments after his birth, the very same Jesus Christ appears as an angel to the shepherd sitting on the side of the hill? That's what the Bible teaches. And lo, the angel of the Lord, not an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. This is the same angel of the Lord from Genesis chapter 16. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, this is how God exists. This is the nature of the spirit world. And our minds have been poisoned by Hollywood and its distorted depiction of the spirit world. But what the passages that I just read to you from Luke chapter 2 are some of the clearest passages anywhere in the Bible showing you how things operate in the spirit world, in the spirit realm. Jesus Christ is born to the Virgin Mary, and then, while he is still in the manger, he appears to the shepherds as the angel of the Lord, and he manifests the glory of the Lord at exactly the same time. Now, if you can wrap your head around that, you will know more than 90% of the Greek and Hebrew scholars anywhere in the Bible, because they do not believe what I just told you. They do not take it literally. And this is what it means to be a Bible believer. We don't just accept the Bible. We don't just use the Bible. We believe every word that that book says, and when the Bible says that Jesus is born in a manger and then the angel of the Lord appears to shepherds, well, either you believe that or you don't believe that. But I believe that. So, turn to Genesis chapter 18. I'll show you another appearance of the angel of the Lord that does not specifically say the angel of the Lord. But when you see this passage in Genesis 18, you'll understand what the Bible's talking about. Genesis 18, 1. Genesis 18, 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. So, Genesis 18:1 says that the Lord appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre as Abraham was sitting in the tent door. And then the very next verse shows you three men standing by Abraham, just like the men who were standing by Daniel in Daniel chapter 12. And these men, these angels sent by God, and one of them is the angel of the Lord, because verse 1 says, And the Lord appeared unto him. One of these three men is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. But I want you to pay attention to how Abraham treats them. Genesis 18:4. let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. And after that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And then you read on in the passages, and Abraham is giving instructions to his wife to make a meal suitable to feed these three men. And in verse 9 of Genesis 18, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, this is one of the three men, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She was no longer menstruating. Verse 12 says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, surely I of a surety bear a child which am old? So do you see what the Bible did there? In the first couple of passages, the main speaker of those three men is talking to Abraham as a man. And then you get down to verse 13, and that man is the Lord. And the Lord said unto Abraham, well, that's the same guy that was talking to Abraham and Sarah in all the passages before that. So here we see that angels, when they appear as men. They have hands, they have feet. Abraham said, why don't you relax a little bit and wash your feet and sit down under the tree? And then he instructs his wife to create a meal for these men. Verse 8 says, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Do you remember what Jesus was doing after he rose from the dead and he met the apostles on the shore? What was he doing? He was preparing a meal for them. He was in his glorified body, but he can sit down and he can have a meal with his disciples. And here in Genesis chapter 18, these three men, two angels and one is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and he stood with them under the tree and they did eat. So, we understand that the book of Hebrews says, talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? But when they appear to men, they appear as men. And that's a very, very important distinction to understand. When angels appear to men, they appear as men. And you can look anywhere anywhere that you want to look in your King James Bible. You can look in the book of Revelation. You can look in Galatians. You can look anywhere in the Old Testament. Hundreds and hundreds of places where angels show up. And in every single place, they show up as men. Now, the expression angel of the Lord occurs 635 times in 79 verses in the King James Bible. And of course, the very first example of angel was the angel of the Lord from Genesis 16:7. But look in these other places. Exodus 3:2. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. The Bible says about God that he is a consuming fire. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ appears to Moses. So what do we make of all these hundreds and hundreds of places where Jesus Christ is showing up in a pre-incarnate form? Why would he be doing that? Turn to the book of Colossians. Turn to the book of Colossians. Verses 16 through 18. Colossians 1, 16 through 18. "For by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." And then turn to Psalm chapter 40. Turn to Psalm chapter 40. Verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book," Genesis to Revelation, "in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart." So, why do we see so many examples of Jesus Christ showing up in so many different forms? Because the volume of the book is written about him. Do you know what the main theme of the Bible is? Some people might say the cross, and that's not true. Some people might say salvation, and that's only partially true. Some people might say it's about the Jewish people. But the main theme of that book, from cover to cover, is the coming king and the coming kingdom. And when you go through the prophets, over the last couple of months in my morning Bible study, I've been doing the entire book of Daniel, the entire book of Jeremiah, almost done with the book of Isaiah. And when you read the prophets every single day, 3, 4, 5 chapters a day, every single day, what begins to stand out is an endless repetition of the coming king and the coming kingdom. And when you read the prophets like that, and then you go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and you see all these places where the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ is showing up, it's about the coming king and the coming kingdom. He is everywhere in the Bible. He is in mystery form. He is in physical form. He is in angelic form. Everywhere you look in that Bible, you come face to face with Jesus Christ, God the Father in human flesh, in one form or another. And the reason for that is, the Bible says in Psalm 40 and in Hebrews, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me." Turn Turn to Genesis chapter 19. I'll show you some different angels. Genesis 19, verses 1 and 2. Actually, we got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to look at the angels that met Lot in the gates of Sodom. And we will be right back after this. Amen. And we are back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study. If you're just tuning in, we've been taking a wild ride looking at angels, the angel of the Lord. We're seeing Jesus Christ being born in a manger at the same time appearing as the angel of the Lord to the shepherds on the hill. We're seeing the angel of the Lord appearing to Abraham and Sarah in the tent and sitting down and having lunch with them. absolutely mind-blowingly amazing. And here in Genesis chapter 19, we meet two other angels. Genesis 19:1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot stood in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and they entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake them unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Now, that's an old English expression. These gay men of Sodom want to rape the two angels. Now, if these angels were 13 feet tall and had wings, no human being would think that they could do anything with a creature like that. But the angels do not appear to be 10, 11, 12, 13 feet tall. They do not appear to have very intimidating looking wings. In fact, these two angels, to the men of Sodom, look like any other two men that they could have sexual relations with. So what this tells us about the nature of angels, yes, they are ministering spirits sent forth on behalf of them which are to be heirs of salvation. And where is the passage which talks about, I think it's in the book of Jude. Turn to the book of Jude. Nope. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." So, what did God do for Lot in Genesis chapter 19? He sent two angels, ministering spirits sent forth on behalf of them who are to be heirs of salvation. Lot is an heir of salvation. And those angels got Lot and his two daughters safely out of Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroyed it. But the angel of the Lord did not appear in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we could probably do a whole separate Bible study on why that might be. Because in Genesis chapter 16, you have the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, appearing to Hagar to give her comfort. You have the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, in 17 and 18, appearing to Abraham and Sarah to give them comfort about having a baby. But then when you get to Genesis 19, the angel of the Lord does not make an appearance, and he sends two other people. And those two angels were sent to minister unto Lot and to get him safely out of Sodom. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's look at something called the host of heaven. God made a heaven that is populated with an unbelievable number of spiritual creatures. You have cherubim, you have seraphim, you have angels, you have all these different beasts with wings and eyes. The book of Ezekiel talks about some really scary things, talks about all these wheels spinning around. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. And this is the first place where we see the expression, the host of heaven. Deuteronomy 4:19, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided under all nations under the whole heaven. Then Deuteronomy 17:3, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. And let me give you one more. 2 Kings 17, verse 16. Nope. Yeah, 2 Kings 17, 16. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And I'll give you one more. 1 Kings 22:19. 1 Kings 22:19. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and his left. Now, turn to the book of Job. Turn to Job chapter 1, and let's see if we can begin to get a handle on this host of heaven thing. Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Job 1, 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So, when you think about the host of heaven, yes, that includes the sun, the moon, and the stars, but it goes much further than that. It goes to the very throne room of God. I gave you that verse from 1 Kings 22:19. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and his left. And so that's going to be all of the angels. That's going to be all of the seraphim and the cherubim. That's going to be all of the beasts and the different creatures and the different objects. And the emerald rainbow that's behind the throne. And all these different amazing, scary, terrifying things. When the Bible talks about the host of heaven, it's talking about all of it. And in the Old Testament, there's dozens of verses which talk about how the Jews, 2 Chronicles 33:3, for he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. So, when we think about the host of heaven, it is the entire cast of characters that God has chosen to populate heaven with. Now, when we look at the Bible in terms of the gap theory, and we did a Bible study on that a couple of months ago, And the gap theory states that, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It would appear that there was a whole creation before the creation that we live in right now. And God gave dominion. And this brings us to our last topic of the night. Turn to Ezekiel 28. And God gave dominion over this original creation to a cherub by the name of Lucifer. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Lucifer was originally in charge of the original creation. How do I know that? Because that's what Ezekiel 28 says. Ezekiel 28:13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Lucifer was in charge of the creation. He was the original king of the world. Thou wast set upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So, when God made the original creation with all the host of heaven, he set Lucifer as the most beautiful thing that had ever been created. And who created Lucifer? Well, Colossians chapter 1 says that Jesus Christ created everything. But he rebelled. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. I'll show you the exact moment that he rebels. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, I just read to you from Ezekiel 28 that Lucifer was placed in Eden in the garden of God, and he was given all these beautiful jewels as his covering. And verse 14 of Ezekiel 28 said that God set him upon the holy mountain of God in the garden of God. And he gave Lucifer dominion. But Lucifer was not happy with dominion. He wanted God's job. And the passages that I just read to you from Isaiah chapter 14, this is where the first sin that was ever committed. Isaiah chapter 14, the first words that were ever recorded that were spoken is Lucifer talking in Isaiah chapter 14, and he has the sin of pride, and he is shaking his bony fist at God, and he is saying that he is going to come and take God's throne. So when we think about angels, we think about cherubs and seraphims, we think about the angel of the Lord, we think about the spirit world. The spirit world is every bit as real as the physical world that you and I are in right now. Now, the Bible says this in the book of Hebrews, that it is possible in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, this is in the book of Hebrews. This is written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We do not have the access to the spirit world that was available in different dispensations. But the dispensation that is coming after us is absolute. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. I gave you the past, I gave you the present, now let me give you the future. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, how did Mormonism start? Joseph Smith claimed to have an angel visitation from the angel Moroni. But by and large, we do not have access to the spirit realm. But if you look at the middle 1800s, what do you have? You have the rise of Mormonism. You have the rise of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And then towards the end of the 19th century, you have the Seventh-day Adventists. In 1884, you have the Revised Version Bible. And all these things that took place in the mid to late 19th century. And it was the start of the great falling away. And so to me, it is perfectly acceptable that the first real cult of the end of the church age starts with an angel visitation. To me, in light of everything that we're talking about, that makes perfect sense to me. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. And I'm going to show you the last gospel that is ever going to be preached on the face of the earth. And it's not the gospel of the grace of God. It's not the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It's not even preached by a human being. The last gospel that is ever preached is found in Revelation 14, verses 6 through 8. And it's a short, easy to understand message. And it is preached by an angel. Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. This is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. This is not Romans to Philemon. Having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and people and tongue. And then Revelation 14:7 tells you what the everlasting gospel is. Verse 7 says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So, this is not Peter's gospel. This is not Paul's gospel. This is not Jesus Christ crucified, died, and buried, and risen again on the third day according to the scriptures, this gospel doesn't even reference Jesus Christ. It simply says, fear God and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Why is it such a short gospel? Because this is this is the gospel that is preached just prior to the return of Jesus Christ at the second advent. And now God has boiled the whole thing down and given this gospel, the last gospel ever preached, and God gives it to an angel. Now, why would God do that? Because are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So here we've taken a short little look tonight at the nature of angels. They appear as men. If you were to meet an angel tomorrow, according to the Bible, it would look just like any other man that you could come across. And you wouldn't know that you were talking with an angel. Have you ever heard that old expression that you should always be nice to everybody that you meet because you never know who you're really talking to? Well, that's what Paul was saying when he said that some have entertained angels unawares. And when I grabbed hold of that verse years ago, I made up my mind that I was going to be good and honest and decent to all people, not just because it's the right thing to do, and not just because it's what Christians should do, but because you never know who you're talking to. You never know if that person is a human being or it's an angel unawares. And that's why the Bible says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And that's why we should seek to do good to all men and women, of course. Well, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. I hope that this Bible study was a blessing to you, and I hope it made this rather complex topic of spiritual beings a little bit more clear and a little bit more plain. And I hope it lifted up and exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Everything was created for him, by him, and for his pleasure. The book is about Jesus Christ, crucified, died, buried, risen again on the third day according to the scriptures, and coming again in power and might and majesty and great glory. Thank you so much for being part of this Bible study, as always. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday, noon Eastern time, for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe you don't have what it takes? 'Cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead.
has brought heaven to us. But make no mistake, there's still more to come. When our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant.